It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Friday, exclusively on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way.
They're a high-effort group, and they got some real players over there. We're going to have our hands full, but just trusting the game plan, trusting our base rules, making sure that we're communicating and protecting, just getting the ball into our playmakers' hands, and just trying to make as many plays as possible, taking care of the football.
I don't know, I kind of felt like a long drive to my first day of school, kind of. So, yeah, it was a lot to think about.
Let them be them. You know, that's something that we preach a lot in this offense, be you with us. You don't have to change who you are or what you do in this offense.
You know, he plays with a lot of grit, a lot of hustle. He plays hard. Obviously, he's been one of the top quarterbacks in the game for a while now. Just to be able to play with him and experience that in person, I think it's going to be real cool.
He lines up under center over the left side, and he is in for a one-yard touchdown run. Josh Allen's first rushing touchdown since week one. Pocket collapsing. Allen squirts away from it, throws to the end zone, and it's caught for a touchdown. Dawson Knox.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hey, good morning. Happy Football Friday. I just thought of something right away. So remember a couple days ago when we talked about postseason baseball and how one of the coolest shots there is the dude smashes a homer and you get to see all the fans rise with the guy at the same time?
Yes, like behind him.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's another one that's really great.
Okay.
And that is when they isolate it the other way, not showing first base, but showing the third baseline, and they show, like, there's a guy on third who gets to strut home watching that ball go over the fence and flex on home plate. There's a really good one. I want to say when Batista hit the one in Toronto, it was a bat flip, and whoever it was on third base comes home and gives, like, the biggest roar and flex as they cross home plate.
Yeah,
pretty cool spot to be in if you're in for one of those famous home runs to be on third.
Yeah.
You get to touch the play and be like, LFG, baby.
And that happened last night against Cleveland, or against the Yankees.
The guy on third base for the big Christmas home run.
The big Christmas home run. Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
I do like just look get all the different angles when that happens. Everyone's different reaction. Did we get a dugout reaction?
Yes.
When that happened,
did
too?
You see the roof shot that's only audio from 600 yards away?
I did not see that.
It's
from
amazing.
Outside 600 yards away, the stadium?
Yes. All you hear is
that's cool.
It's a view of the stadium in Cleveland. You see the lights on, and there's a murmur of crowd noise. And you're thinking, all right, when am I going to hear this? And you can hear... Yeah. The crack of the ball in the bat, and then the crowd goes nuts.
Wow.
It's so great.
Yeah. What a game last night.
Another reason that fall is elite. I mean, come on. Last night's moments for the Yankees and Guardians, just awesome stuff. Well, for the Guardians. Not so much for the Yankees, but they're still up in the series.
Lined up perfect, too, if you're watching that Sabre game, because it was like right in the second intermission. All of that.
Yeah.
Like the home run to tie it at the bottom of the ninth, and then the 10th inning home run also. Last night you had two different home runs you could have watched the views on because
right.
They were both like it felt like equally momentous.
My cousin decided to go to that game like yesterday morning.
Ugh.
Just drive to Cleveland. Yeah.
As a Yankees fan, so maybe not the best outcome, but
whatever.
Still,
awesome.
What a great game.
Well, sweet.
Yeah, playoff baseball is I am so into playoff baseball this year. I don't know what it is about this postseason. Maybe it's who's in it. Like, the Yankees being in it does make me care more about it. I'm not rooting for them. The Mets being in it, I think, makes me care. Ohtani, I don't know. The brands and the stars are drawing me to it a little bit more, and then you're getting, like, ninth inning home runs, I feel like, every other night.
You're saying
which is also helping.
If this was Bruins-Padres, you might be a little less.
Bruins-Padres.
Sorry, Brewers, Padres.
Oh, right.
Before 7 a.m.
Yeah.
Doesn't count.
If it was Brewers, Padres, I might not have been tuned in last night, I must say.
Now, if it was Bruins, Padres, maybe you would.
That'd be, yeah. What are they playing, though?
Don't know, but I'd watch it.
A combination. Some combo of hockey and baseball. And then the Mets just can't hang right now with the Dodgers.
Nope. That's right. Well, good morning. Happy Football Friday. We've got lots coming up today. We'll check in with Sal and Chris Brown. And Stevie Johnson is scheduled to join us in studio. Also, a Titans guest, Tyler Rowland, on the Titans. I've got a couple of stats for you on the Titans for this game. We can, if anybody wants to talk about the Sabres, you know, have at it. We have a phone line. But we'll avoid that for now. Here's the stat on Will Levis. He doesn't do anything well right now.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Not even the moon balls last year that he was slinging down the field.
He doesn't do anything well.
Yeah.
I was listening to Joe Marino, who we talked to on Wednesdays, and he rattled off a bunch of the stats on Levis, and it's all disaster. Horrible. His EPA per dropback is below Deshaun Watson.
Who I thought was like the worst quarterback in 30 years.
Yeah, well.
Levis is worse than that?
Levis is worse. And in Tennessee, they've got a good defense, and they've got good weapons, and their quarterback is killing them. So I'm over here bullish on this Sunday 1 o'clock Elite Fall Sunday game being a Bills romp. The vibes are going to be back. After beating the Jets, trading for Amari Cooper, and romping on the Titans, which is what they should do. They should really handle this team.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're all going to be flying pretty high Sunday afternoon.
Levis, some of his game logs on the year, like, he's had one good game maybe all year, and I don't even know if I want to qualify that as that, because Green Bay was the game he threw for 260 a few weeks ago, and he had a couple touchdowns, but this is not a good game. You score 14 points, you threw two interceptions, and took, hold for it, 8 sacks in the game. Yeah, I mean, that's tough. Their defense is great, though, which is why, like, I kind of want to think that the Titans could hang around in this game a little bit, even if Levis... But that's the thing. Levis, it's negative plays.
Yeah.
It's not just, hey, like, oh, they're going to punt a bunch, and they're going to run the ball at 3 yards a clip, and they'll have 6 points, and they'll be... Like, Levis will get his defense in trouble because he's going to do 5 things in the game that are wild and could go back the other direction for a defensive touchdown, even. Or it's just going to be a short field. Or he's going to take sacks. He's going to do that. Like... Just you're going to get negative plays from him more than probably any other quarterback right now in the NFL.
Yep.
Like, Watson's not giving you any good plays. Levis, I guess, isn't giving you many good plays either, but the negative plays are the thing.
Lots of sacks, lots of picks. You know, on the hang-around point, they are 1-4. Yeah. 3 losses are one-possession losses. They lost by 7 to the Bears, 7 to the Jets, and 3 to the Colts.
Okay.
Then they got beat pretty badly by the Packers. So, I'm expecting the defense to look pretty good. And whether that's the pass rush getting there, I mean, he got sacked. He gets sacked all the time. I think he averages like getting sacked six times a game. He's on the ground a lot. He makes horrible decisions under pressure. The Bills are going to confuse him with coverages. One thing pointed out last week about Rodgers is, you know, the Bills use a lot of disguising stuff, and Rodgers is going to be one of the best at, hey, I know what you're doing. Like, I can figure you out here. Watch you on film, see what you do. And Rodgers looked pretty good. The one thing about Levis, I guess, that we'll have to watch is, will they get chunk plays? Will they find a way to get DeAndre Hopkins, Tyler Boyd,
Calvin Ridley.
He's
the one they signed a giant contract to, and he's supposed to be a downfield threat.
And he had no catches last week.
I mean, he's a guy you're dropping in your fantasy leagues right now. Maybe, like, you're getting close to that.
Yep.
Because he's got one game on the year above 50 yards. And listen to his last 3 games. 8 targets, 0 catches. That was last week.
That's unheard of.
8 targets, 0 catches. Week before that, 3 targets, 1 catch for 5 yards. Week before that, 3 catches, 1 catch for 9 yards. He's got 14 yards in his last 3 games. Calvin Ridley, who's a good receiver. And he's down the field. So those are supposed to be some of the things Will Levis can do, and they're just not happening.
Nope.
At all. So, like, what am I scared of? I'm looking at the Bills' schedule and thinking, like, this is a game I'm probably as confident they'll win as any game left on their schedule.
Should be. Home.
Like, maybe home New England later on in the year.
Home, bad quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, that's got to be, they got to do it. And I think they will. You know, we'll all be waiting to see if Amari Cooper has a role. If he's out there for any snaps, if he's dressed.
Is the game opponent part of that? Like, is them being such a big favorite, or it being a game you'd expect to win, more of a reason to, like, hey, we don't really need to force this week? I don't know. That doesn't have to play into it, because if he's ready, he's ready, and if he's not ready, he's not ready. And maybe that's what really should matter more here. But if he's active and standing on the sidelines, and they have a select set of plays for him, and he knows a chunk of the playbook and not all of it, and they're up 21-6 in the second quarter, they might just say, yeah, we don't need to throw you out there yet, because right, we're going to win this game by 20.
Yeah. It's a good question how much they involve him, what they think about that. The Jets, the difference is the Jets have a game against the Steelers, and that should be much more competitive, and they probably feel more desperate. So, and Devontae Adams has a rapport with Aaron Rodgers. So for Adams to go in quicker than Cooper, to me, makes sense.
Right.
A couple things line up. They need it more, and they've had a history together. Cooper and Allen have to build that. So I'm eager to see it when it happens. It'd be nice if they introduced him. It'd be nice if it happened at home. I was driving in today thinking, should the Bills introduce and thank Tyler Boyd on the Jumbotron?
Has he been back?
I don't know.
I don't know if he's been
Bills
back.
Bills fans, please welcome Tyler Boyd.
They did it for Dalton. That was like, though, the first preseason game in the stadium after the drought.
Preseason? Does it not count because it's preseason?
I don't know. Maybe not.
Do it for Tyler Boyd. Welcome back.
Yeah. 7 years later, was he always good? I remember when he caught that pass, like he wasn't really
he's always good.
Much of a guy.
Yeah. Boyd's been one of the best slot guys in the NFL most of his career.
Okay, I'm looking right now though. That year that he caught the touchdown from Dalton to send the Bills to the playoffs, how many receiving yards he had on the season? He had 225.
Wow,
in 10 games. The year before he had 600. So he had yet to really establish himself when he caught that pass, and immediately after it was like 1,000 yards, 1,000 yards, 800 yards, 800 yards, and now he's just a slot guy underneath for Tennessee. They're going to be a deadline team too, aren't they? The Titans. They're going to be talked about for Hopkins. Maybe they're even going to be talked about for Boyd, right? Like the Chiefs trading for a receiver. Like, aren't you calling the Titans immediately because they have three? I mean, they're not trading Ridley because of the contract, but they have three veteran receivers. That's what's so weird about the Titans to me is I feel like they're kind of trying. They have a veteran running back that they paid in Tony Pollard. They have veteran receivers that we just mentioned. They have a great defense. They just went after a great player in the secondary, Legarius Sneed, although he's not playing well, I guess. The moves on the roster are kind of like, okay, guys in their 30s, let's go. Like, we can still be competitive here. And then the quarterback is just like, yeah, we're just kind of experimenting here and finding out if he's good.
Yeah.
It just doesn't really line up, I guess. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they're a team that will bench Levis. Like, maybe first.
Yeah.
Like, will he be the next quarterback benched?
The difference is, like, with Bryce Young, a number one overall pick, that's big news. Levis is a second-round pick. If they decided to do it, it would be,
right.
Well, all right, they're going to move on to try something else.
But it's like, how much do you really have to give a second-round pick? How much time do you really have to give him? The investment is just not the same as if the guy was a top-five pick. So, like, to me, him exiting that starting job sometime soon is very possible, which I'll be sad about because he is definitely still a riot on Sundays.
He's interesting.
Yeah. We said going into the year, he's going to be a lot of fun. He is a lot of fun, but it's, maybe not right, for, it's all the negative.
Not for his teammates, but
no,
for us. Yeah. Last week, he was 16 of 27 for 95 yards.
Yikes. They lost that game by 3?
Yes.
That's amazing.
That's the Colts.
See, that's why I don't just want to automatically declare, like, okay, this is going to be a blowout, because look right there. Last week, Will Levis threw for 95 yards, and they only lost the game by 3. Although, dive in, like, how that happened. Like, Indy throw a pick 6 or something?
To give you context, Indianapolis's pass defense is 26th in the NFL in yards given up. He had 95 yards.
Okay.
The Titans do have the number one pass defense by yards allowed. Number one. Number two is the Jets. Number one is Tennessee.
Yeah. Well, the Bills' run defense, by the way, is suspect, and that's kind of how I'm looking right now. Like, I mean, they were fine. Tony Pollard ran 17 carries for 93 yards. Spears, and I guess, really, how did they keep up in that game? They didn't put any offense on the board.
Yeah. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550 to join us. Bills and Titans, Sunday 1 o'clock.
I used to hate the Titans.
Yeah, you did.
Definitely faded, but I hated the Titans, and that is just, it's so different now. Like, they were always the fake team. Maybe that's the Steelers for me now. I always felt like the Titans were just the fake good team. Even when they were the one seed, it was like, guys, come on. They're not, even at the home, they're not going to the Super Bowl. They're not going to be, they're a team that's built through their running game, and their running back was all-time great, but it never mattered to me. When your quarterback's Ryan Tannehill and you're built that way, I just always thought you were limited, and that really kind of got proven true. It all kind of collapsed in the last 2 years. They have not been... They had, like, what, two... Was it two seasons where they were like that? Where they were great? at the top. They were the one seed the one time.
Yep.
And then I think they had one other year where they beat the Patriots in a playoff game.
That's Brady's last playoff. That's his last throw in New England was a pick six.
Okay, right. Yeah. So they did. They that year won a playoff game.
Yep.
And then the last couple have been tough and just never been, never liked that team.
The way they've gone, though, Vrabel will be coaching again very soon, right?
Honestly, forgot about Vrabel.
Right.
Where is he right now?
Nowhere.
Nowhere?
Not head coach.
Surprised the Jets didn't hire him.
He's going to go somewhere.
He's a consultant in Cleveland.
Okay. Well.
Yeah.
What's he think about Amari Cooper?
Him not becoming a coach kind of got swept under the radar because Belichick didn't become a coach, right?
Yep.
Vrabel not, is that weird that he didn't get a head coaching job?
I'd imagine
there's a power thing with him,
right? As soon as he wants one, he'll have one again.
Yeah. I think the thing, though, with him was that he's a coach that like you're going to need to give power to, which a lot of teams will be willing to do. Maybe it was just didn't line up last year that that would happen. Yeah, Vrabel's in Cleveland, though, right now. So, I don't know. I feel like they're kind of starting over. They're kind of not because of their good players, and all this is justice because they weren't actually ever that good.
Yep. 803-0550, when we remember some Titans, we can do that with... You know, as you said, they're a fake team. I'm thinking about how, like, I never thought Eddie George was good. He was, like, their franchise identity.
Yeah.
He ran for 4 yards a carry for his career.
Yeah. I mean, before that 12-5 season where they were the one seed. Actually, they were they the one seed in back-to-back years? No, that was the 2021 season. They were 12-5. Like, listen to their 2016 on. 9-7, 9-7, 9-7, 9-7, 11-5.
Isn't that Jeff Fisher in there? A lot?
No, Malarkey.
Okay. Oh, whoa. All right.
Malarkey and then into Vrabel. You didn't have Malarkey in there that late?
No.
Malarkey was the coach when they beat the Chiefs in the playoffs in Mahomes' rookie year where he didn't play.
Okay. Bills Titans, Sunday, 1 o'clock. Catch the fever. 803-0550, our number, and 1-888-552-550. If you want to chime in on, you know, expectations, game predictions, vibes, anything like that. And we've got a call on the Sabres. If you want to call on the Sabres, I suppose we'll take it. Paul in Buffalo on the Sabres. Good morning, Paul.
Before I get to that, that was a great ball game last night. I made the right decision to watch the baseball before I got to the Sabres. It just reminds me how privileged I was to watch Mariano Rivera for years because forget about just the last three outs. The last nine outs of a playoff game, so hard to get. And they get exponentially harder every three outs to see Classe get hammered, to see Luke Weaver, Clay Holmes get shelled. Those were two great bullpens that got shelled last night. Anybody who watched was privileged to a wonderful game. On to the Sabres. Matias Samuelsson made just a classic Matias Samuelsson giveaway at the beginning of, I think, of the first goal last night. And I just think to myself, our defensemen, like people who have been coached by amateur coaches their whole career. I mean, Owen Power, I didn't want to say anything about last game. He has no defensive awareness at all. He just stands around cluelessly. Now, when Dahlin stupidly, I guess, tried to rush the puck out against two guys because he no longer has faith in his teammates, Power just stood there because he had no clue what to do. And when those guys knocked Dahlin down and stripped the puck, Power looked like a newborn baby calf, just didn't know how to walk yet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my God, even Levi let us down last night. Mm-hmm. And I guess, Terry Pegula, the question is, the dumpster is smoldering. We can see the smoke coming out of it. Are you waiting for full-on dumpster fire? Are you waiting for us to have protests outside the arena to have Kevin Adams fired? I mean, I will go to Pat LaFontaine on your behalf and beg him to come back. And if it costs you $10 million a year to get Pat LaFontaine back here to fix your franchise, Terry, then that's what you got to pay. If it costs you another $2 million a year to get Mike Pekka back here on your bench, then that's what you got to pay. Because I can no longer blame Kevin Adams, Terry Pegula. You have obviously dug this hole for us, and your little puppet, Kevin Adams, has danced to your strings, and I've insulted Kevin Adams enough. Now I'm coming for you. And Lindy, you're not safe either, because you're coaching with a bunch of amateurs, and no one believes that you chose them as your assistant coaches. Guys, have a great day.
Thanks, Paul.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I mean, they lost to the Blue Jackets last night. They lost to the Blue Jackets.
Not only did they lose to the Blue Jackets, but
they gave up six.
It was the kind of game where every time you thought, all right, maybe they'll figure this out, you got smashed in the face like a whack-a-mole.
Like immediately.
Immediately. Yeah. Like, all right. Hey, Yuri Kulik, first goal. All right. This feels great. For those about to rock. Like, oh, man. All right. I thought that was going to be a good moment for Yuri Kulik. Like, all right, let's go to the third period. What are you? You're in this. You got some time left. Let's start the third period. For those about. And that's every time you thought you could have a minute and a half of peace.
That actually...
That cannon launched in your face.
Yeah, that's funny. I didn't even think about the third period goal for that. So here's the second period goals and how immediately the Blue Jackets scored after. How much game time? How much game time was there where they were down by one? Let's add it up. Ready? Ryan McLeod scores at 9:34 in the second period to make it 2-1. At 12:18, Adam Fantilli scores.
It doesn't count unless you say for those about to rock and make the cannon
okay.
sound.
Okay. For those about to rock... All right, so 3 minutes. There's 3 minutes.
3 minutes.
Yuri Kulik scores, tips it in at 7:29.
Oh, man, doesn't everybody feel so good for him? Oh, all right, first NHL goal. Hey, kid, you're doing great.
Yeah, 17:58, Columbus, 30 seconds later.
30 seconds.
Okay, so 3.5 minutes now they have of playing time that they are down by one. Owen Power, 25 seconds left in the second period.
Let's go.
There you go.
We're in it.
All right.
Let's get to the third.
15 seconds in. So that's 50 seconds.
It's funny.
Wait, that's less than 5 minutes of playing. They scored three goals in less than 5 minutes of playing time. They were actually down by one.
I had a thought.
Unbelievable.
When Power scored at the end of the second, like, you know what? You can't give up a goal right away after you score if you score so late in the period that they can't do it, and yet they still got it done right at the start of the third.
Yeah.
I've got nothing left. I don't know what to say. Sometimes people write to me like, oh, you got a rant coming in the morning? Like, who could? What could you say?
There's nothing left to say. I have one comment in that they have right now between, I would say, last night, you mentioned Samuelson. Samuelson makes five plays a night now that are driving you nuts. Between Samuelson, Cousins, and there's Clifton makes bad plays every night.
Quinn's in the press box last night.
Quinn's in the press box. But let me, those three players, Clifton, they're a team that already has, what, $7 million in cap space that aren't spending up to the cap right now. Between Samuelson, Cousins, and Clifton, you have $15 million invested in three players that are actively hurting them night to night and doing nothing. So it's not just $7 million. That is $22 million that are just right now nothing.
Yeah.
Just doing nothing. $7 million you're not spending, and then $15 million on guys that are doing absolutely nothing for you. That's the best I got. Otherwise, I'm just. I said yesterday I was emotionally exhausted before they lost 6-4 to Columbus. Now I don't know what's left. Fire Kevin Adams? Sure. I don't know.
Does it change anything? Also, it brings me no joy to report to you that I'm being told that the first overall pick in this year's draft is not exactly one of the guys you'd like to finish first for.
Sweet.
James Hagans.
Sweet.
Sure, he's a nice player, but it's not like one of those years.
I need an expansion draft.
Expansion draft.
I need an expansion draft.
803-0550, our phone number. Thanks, Paul, for the phone call. Sabres lose. The Bills are going to win on Sunday. It's going to be fun.
I guess it's a little bold there. You're setting yourself up for the jinx, aren't you? Saying that outright?
If they lose, there will be only one person that we are coming for. Ooh. No, I shouldn't say that.
If they lose, I shouldn't one say that. Person, Joe Brady?
Because there's the only way they lose is if their offense is in a slumber again. And I just,
yeah.
At home, no. They're going to be fine.
And even, no, not even if they did. If they did, we'd there'd be a, there'd be, it wouldn't be good.
They're going to be fine.
But Cooper not playing would be like, well, I'm getting Cooper back. No, they can't. You can't lose that game.
803-0550. I'm bullish on the Bills on Sunday in Tennessee. We'll see, you know, from there how it goes, how soon Amari Cooper gets involved. Sabres thoughts, more than welcome. Happy Friday. A beautiful fall weekend is on the way. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Score! Shot from the point, deflected in front of the net, and they're picking up the puck. So Jiří Kulík getting the congratulations from his teammates with his first NHL goal, his first NHL point, and the Sabres now trail by one at 3-2 Columbus.
One of the moments of the game, for the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. Firth Jewelers, for all the moments in your life. The moral victory chart, they did not achieve their moral victory last night. Last night's moral victory of the game, brought to you by us, was score a power play goal.
And they did not do that.
And I've now put Joe on finding most consecutive power plays without a goal in NHL history. What's the record?
How many power plays did they have last night? Because I think they were 0 for 15 going into the night, and they were 0 for 2 last night. So they're 0 for 17.
What's the record? Be a part of history, folks.
Okay, here. This is the playoff record. Well, I can give you the playoff record. Okay. It's higher. 36.
Whoa.
The Rangers in the 13-14 playoffs went 0 for 36. Is that the year they went to the Cup? Did they make the Stanley Cup going 0? That can't possibly be.
No,
there's no way a team was able to do that.
Okay, but that's against all playoff teams. The Sabres here have, you know, Columbus, Pittsburgh, 0 for 17.
Yeah. And no end in sight. They don't even look good. It's not even like they're getting close. That was the year they went to the Cup, by the way.
All right.
How did the Rangers go to the Stanley Cup without scoring a power play goal? Anyways, yeah, they're not. They don't look like they're even relatively close to scoring on the power play.
There are three teams that have yet to score a power play goal.
Okay.
The Hurricanes and the Ducks have also not yet scored a power play goal.
Oh, Carolina, get it together. Man. Vibes are not good.
No.
And it's October 18th.
No, they're not. The one thing, so our
Leafs
first
went 0 for 51 once. There you
51.
Go. 51. 51.
By the way,
will they do it?
Pointing out Carolina and Anaheim also do not have a power play goal. Carolina has played this is right somehow, 2 games.
Okay.
Carolina has played 2 games.
Yeah.
And the Ducks have played 3 games and the Sabres have played 6 games.
Okay. Yeah, NHL record for consecutive power plays on a goal is Toronto with 51.
51, all right.
So they're not quite halfway there, but, I mean, how close will they get? Will they get to 30?
I don't know. It is incredible how special teams, last night's game is not that. Last night's game is they were just bad start to finish, and they gave up terrible goals and made terrible mistakes, and their goalie let them down. Everybody let them down. Everybody. Alex Tuch, we got to come out with more urgency. They got out-urgency'd by the Blue Jackets in October.
Just.
Okay.
I don't know.
What do you do? What do you say?
I'm left to think all of these now are just, there's nothing left to say.
That's right.
That it's 13 years, it is 900 hockey games since they've been in the playoffs. And every single one of them, there has to be a reason why you lost. And maybe the reason why you lost is just you're not that talented. Frankly. Just to be frank, you're not that talented. That's it. Your best players aren't as good as other teams' best players. Now, last night, maybe that's more of a worthy excuse because last night your best player should be more talented than their best players. But typically, I think that's what's going on here. The Sabres players aren't as talented as we thought they were. That's it. That's all it is.
Yep. 803-0550. It is Football Friday, of course. Football Friday brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Sub. Start your game day the Crosby's way. Last night, another example of how when you hear about passing stats being down, part of it is running quarterbacks. Bo Nix ran for 75 yards. Spencer Rattler ran for like 40.
Yeah.
You've got
And neither of them are thought of as like mobile quarterbacks.
No. And that brings me to a point I want to bring up here. So I found a very, very fun and validating, if I may, chart about which quarterbacks excel outside of structure. All right? Here's the game. This has on one axis EPA per play,
okay,
and on the other, create rate. How often does a quarterback create on his own, and what is the EPA per play of those plays?
Okay.
There are two players that are on the top right, which means if you look at any of these fancy sports graphs, you're like, where's the good quadrant? Top right is good.
Yeah.
Guess who's there?
Allen.
Josh Allen, that's right. Guess the quarterback, the only other quarterback that is in the vicinity of Josh Allen. Now, some are good at EPA, but don't do it that much. Some do it a lot. Again, who so far has done it at a high rate and has done it well. One other quarterback is next to Josh Allen. Who is it?
It's not Lamar Jackson?
It's not Lamar Jackson.
It's not like Kyler Murray?
No.
Is it Bo Nix because of last...
No, Lamar and Bo Nix are both in the good quad. They're not that close. There's one player very close to Josh Allen on how often they create and the EPA per play when they do.
Is it Jaden Daniels?
It is not Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels is very good at EPA. He doesn't do it that much.
Is it Baker Mayfield?
No, Baker is in the good quadrant.
I've seen him running a lot this year.
It's not Baker. Do you want to give me the hint? I told you this was personally validating for me.
Personally validating for you.
Because I told you this guy is a little bit like Josh Allen and people aren't saying it enough.
Who did you say that about?
This is Josh Allen. He has Josh Allen traits.
And it's not Levis.
It's not Will Levis.
Because Levis is the other traits.
Nope. Will Levis is bad news.
Yeah, that's bad. Who is this?
You don't hear a lot of Allen comps for this guy. But there should be Allen comps.
And it's not Anthony Richardson.
It's not Anthony Richardson.
Who am I forgetting here? This is going to be obvious, and I'm going to be mad that I didn't
get this. It might not
be
obvious. Because this is not a... I don't see a ton of Allen comps.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a long way to go, but the skills are there are elements. You want your answer?
I want to get this, but
Josh, you
want to
throw one at us? What quarterback is the closest to Josh Allen on EPA per play when scrambling or going beyond their first read outside of the pocket? Does it the most and does it the best? There's one guy next to Josh Allen.
Is it Stroud?
No.
Purdy.
No.
Geno.
No.
No, I'm out. I've guessed enough quarterbacks.
The thing that hurts me is you don't remember that I've told you that
that's
this,
why I'm mad.
that this player should be compared to Josh Allen more.
That's why I'm mad.
That's why
right
I'm
now.
Mad. Here, I've said it. Nobody remembers.
Yeah.
I've edited it and I don't remember. I can't. All of Joe's guesses is not giving me any confidence.
I'm out.
So.
Drake May.
Oh, duh. Okay, I didn't think of him even being there because he's only played the one game.
That's
I didn't
right.
think he'd be on a chart like
but
that.
But one game
okay.
in, Drake May is the most Josh Allen-like of the NFL in creating good plays out of structure right now.
Mm-hmm.
The guy can move. He can run.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a good arm.
So what are you doing? You're warning us that there might be another good quarterback in the AFC East?
No. But let's talk about this quarterback class. Jaden Daniels is already amazing.
Yes,
Caleb Williams has really started to come on. May goes in, and in his first start is immediately better. Then I've got Bo Nix last night. Like it's a pretty J.J. McCarthy's hurt. Maybe if he was playing, Minnesota would be good. I mean, they already are good. It's just interesting about this quarterback class that right now 1, 2, 3 all look pretty good for 6 games into the season.
Yeah. I'm going to want to watch more of what he did in that Houston game because his numbers were pretty good.
Decent.
For your first start on an offense, what was the reason he wasn't in there? Because weren't they terrified to put him in there with nothing to help him?
He threw for 243, 3 touchdowns and 2 picks against Houston.
Like to me, you do that against a good defense that has elite pass rushers, by the way, and you've got DeMario Douglas as your number one receiver, and your
Keyshawn
line stinks,
Boutte,
and Alex Van Pelt,
Javon
your coordinator.
Baker. Yep.
Like that's like almost want to multiply everything by 1.5 because you were able to do those numbers against that defense with what you had to work with.
You know who they play this week?
Pretty good.
Jacksonville. In London.
That's the London game?
Yep. I mean, everybody trashes Jacksonville right now. Is Drake May about to trash the Jaguars? Because I think he might.
We'll see. Like, the athleticism is the thing that has me the most interested in him. Like, Knicks, I feel like that's going to catch up. Knicks is not a great athlete. You watch him play. The arm isn't huge. He's not that fast. I think he's doing okay right now for that. But May when he takes off, and May when he can really like get into a throw, looks like he's got tools. He's got tools.
If you watch the cut up of him running at North Carolina, it looks like Josh Allen running at Wyoming. Again, not as good. Early in the year, we referred to Will Levis as Josh Allen light, and that's probably not right. Maybe Drake May is Josh Allen light, and Will Levis is bad Josh Allen. Like, horrible.
He's bad Josh Allen light, yeah.
Yeah, and to be fair to Josh Allen, like, Levis's first, whatever, however many games here, Allen really never had a stretch as bad as Levis is right now. Levis averages 140 passing yards per game, 5 touchdowns, 7 picks, like, gets sacked all the time. Allen's worst stretch was, what, a cup 5 games, 3, 4, 5 games at most?
Well, if you even give them their rookie seasons were kind of comparable a little bit, like you had some big plays and you had a lot of mistakes and inconsistencies, what was year 2 for Allen? Allen cleaned it up.
Yeah,
like he had yet to really pop off, but he cleaned up a lot of it. And Levis has gone the other direction. It somehow has gotten worse from when he was a rookie.
803-0550. We're going to break in. Vince, stick with us. We'll get to your call on the other side. Check in with Sal as well. Sal, Paul Hamilton, Chris Brown, Stevie Johnson joining us coming up top of the hour. We'll ask him, or not top of the hour, 9 o'clock hour, sorry. We'll talk to him about Amari Cooper. He's got another kids' book, children's book coming out, series of books there. We got a bunch of those. They're super cool. So we'll tell you all about that coming up 9 o'clock as well. Jeremy and Joe on Football Friday on WGR.
Big Christmas
for the Guardians. Yeah, it's a great nickname.
So good.
Scenes in Cleveland last night. Pretty cool. 803-0550. Sal Capaccio joins us top of the hour. We'll talk about the injury report, prep for the Titans. Bills facing the number one defense in the league by yards given up. And they have the number one pass defense by yards given up. You might want to talk about who they've played. It's not exactly a laundry list of great quarterbacks. There is a game in there against Flacco. A game against Skylar Thompson. Jordan Love beat them. Or no, that was Malik Willis. Revenge game.
Right.
They lost to Malik Willis. So that's maybe one of the reasons they have the number one pass defense is they've yet to face, you know, a truly good passer. The Bills' passing offense, of course, has not been great, but hopefully it's on the rise. Vince in North Buffalo is up with us. Hey, Vince, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, guys, on this beautiful morning. Lindy's got to make some changes on defense. The defense is horrible, and Samuelson is playing, like, so badly. He reminds me of Tyler Myers in his last season here. He's awful. I mean, I put Gilbert in. He's got to make changes. This defense has let them down game after game. It's beyond belief, actually. I'm so disappointed in them.
Yeah. It's a terrible start. Thanks, Vince. It is... On some level, it is beyond belief that you can't even have a good fake good start. Hey, they're 3-3 and they goalied a couple of teams. Mm-hmm. Even that's not happening. Your goalies haven't been great.
On that Samuelson point, I mean, he did bench Quinn yesterday, so that needs to be said. But what happened to Lindy juggling lines all the time? He used to do that a ton in his first stint as Sabres coach every night, and he hasn't touched the lines. Much at all.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what you do.
Thanks, Vince. That's part of the whole thing. It's like, what are you supposed to do? Just keep trying, I guess? Wait? Try to beat Chicago?
I don't know.
To get to 2-4-1?
Move Tuck down to the Cousins line. That's what I would do. But, like, what? I don't know. Am I going to get drastically different results? I just would try something.
Yeah. I mean, there's a million ways to relitigate everything, but I think one of the things that you might land on now is how bad the Eichel trade ultimately was.
Yeah.
The return on that was a very short-term return. Tuck's a nice player. He's not the same as he was year one.
And right now you have nothing else.
Krebs is nothing. Ryan Johnson. Like, what? You traded one of the picks?
Ryan Johnson was O'Reilly.
Okay.
Osland. He's not here yet.
Okay. You know.
Nothing yet.
To trade a player of that caliber and really not come out with enough pieces to even think you did well right now, it's tough. Again, like, it's a rough time. 803-0550. Anyway, it's a Football Friday. The Reinhardt trade did okay. First rounder and Levi.
Levi and Kulik.
Yeah. You know, first career goal.
Yeah.
You trade Reinhardt. Reinhardt won the cup before the guy you
and
got
scored,
for him
scored 50 goals.
Scored a goal. Yeah. And scored 50. Yeah. I mean, the returns on these have yet to really bear the fruit that you hoped they did. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Hey, you know, everyone's in a great mood. It's great. Football Friday.
Amari Cooper's a Bill.
That's right.
There you go.
Don't steal those vibes. Football Friday brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash, call Celino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, start your game day the Crosby's way.